knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
I like Dean
a little bit more than you do. We've had this fight in the past, and I always win.
All right,
I like
you can
Dean about
him.
An inch more than you do. Dean Richards joins us right now to talk about the world of film and show business. Dean, last week we talked a little bit about the Hollywood harassment scandal. More and more names keep coming out. Every day you see another name or two, and every day you go, wait, no, how can that be? Jeffrey Tambor's name has come up.
I didn't think I heard Dean.
Oh, is he not there? Well, then unplay the song. We can't give a guy a theme song if he's not here.
He said he was going to be on. I have him all up and ready.
Oh.
I'll talk to you about Jeffrey Tambor.
It's so upsetting. Now, all right, this needs to be said right off the bat. If all these guys are really doing these things, then yeah, their names should definitely be brought out. And every day, like yesterday or the day before, it was Dustin Hoffman's name. And you go, not Dustin Hoffman. Today I'm reading all about Jeffrey Tambor and I'm thinking, these are some of the Kevin Spacey. I mean, every name that comes out, you go, oh, no. So if they're guilty of these things, absolutely. They should absolutely be talked about and should pay a price. But it's just amazing what's going on.
And my thought was, and I brought this up before, what if people are just jumping on a bandwagon now knowing that you can just mention someone's name?
Right.
If it happened, by all means, they should be prosecuted. They really should be.
Well, that's why I'm reading the story in Hollywood Reporter about Jeffrey Tambor, and the charges against him are brought about by a former assistant, somebody named Van Barnes, who evidently didn't really get along with Jeffrey Tambor, so we don't know if they didn't get along because there was harassment, or you know, you don't know which led to which, you know, in this particular case.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, you know, if you have a vendetta with someone,
yeah,
this is kind of an easy way to throw it out there if it didn't happen.
Right.
If it did, and we don't know.
Right.
Then by absolutely. Jeffrey Tambor is on, I loved him on.
He's on Transparent right now.
Right. What was the Larry Sanders show?
Yeah. He was Hank Kingsley.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Applesauce.
Which when we met him, do you remember how that went? Do you remember what you said to him?
I'm sure I don't remember, but I'm sure I said, hey now.
You went into the green room, you stuck out your hand and you said, hey now. And he smiled very politely. And shook your hand.
And so what?
Yeah,
what was I supposed to do? Get out of here?
It was just funny that you gave him his own catchphrase.
You think I'm the first person to have done that?
I think he gets it all day.
So he was used to it. He was very polite. What was I supposed to do to him?
Somebody else's catchphrase.
I wish you had one. I would have done your catchphrase.
My catchphrase.
Are we getting Dean on the phone or what? Why does he do this to us?
The actor Jeffrey Tambor, this is from Hollywood Reporter, who has won 2 Emmys for his work on Transparent, stands accused by his former assistant, transgender actress Van Barnes, says series creator Jill Holloway, we are cooperating with the investigation into this matter. Amazon Studios is on high alert following the October 17th resignation of their chief, Roy Price, over claims he made lewd remarks to Man in the High Castle. Executive producer Isa Hackett Dix is investigating allegations that Transparent star Jeffrey Tambor behaved in a sexually inappropriate manner toward his assistant. They're very vague throughout the story as to exactly what went on. They just say that. They kind of reiterate that some inappropriate gestures were made made in a sexually inappropriate manner, but they don't really go into great detail as to what they were.
And how about the Kevin Spacey news? Speaking of entertainment news, he's being replaced by Christopher Plummer in this new movie.
Oh.
You didn't know this?
No. Which of the new movies?
All the Money in the World. They had already shot that, and actor Kevin Spacey, facing mounting allegations of sexual harassment and assault, will no longer appear in Ridley Scott's forthcoming drama All the Money in the World, according to 2 sources close to the firm. The filmmakers have taken the rare move of planning to completely edit Kevin Spacey out of the film and then replace him with Christopher Plummer.
I have to say, even though that's an enormous undertaking,
yep,
to do this, because those scenes have been shot, if they want this movie to go anywhere, they have to do it. You can't just make a movie and have it sit on a shelf.
That's what Dean was thinking.
Dean, were you thinking of something similar?
Did you forget about us? Christopher Plummer will take over Spacey's role in the film, which, despite the last-minute change, is still set for release on December 22nd. And most of the shots included Kevin Spacey alone, so those will be easy to retake with Christopher Plummer. But then there are other scenes where they have to reshoot them.
He's interacting with other actors and actresses.
Dean is here with us now.
I'm trying to figure out who I can possibly blame my absence
Blame it on society, Dean.
Blame it on me. I'll take it.
Blame it on the moonlight.
This was the first time I was super excited to talk to you because I actually sat my butt in a theater seat last night.
The first time you've been excited to talk to me.
Genuinely excited.
More excited than usual. I finally went to a movie last night. I went to see It.
Dean, for the record, I'm always excited. Wendy's just kind of faking it. But last night she went to see a movie and couldn't wait to tell you about it.
I'm a little behind, but...
This is the first time I've been excited to hear that you went to see a movie.
And can I just tell you the best part? I went with my son Dylan, who's 14, and we went to see It, and we went to the brand new Oak Brook AMC theaters with the reclining seats, which are awesome.
Oh, those are nice. Those are nice slash. I hate them.
Mm-mm. Do you?
Because I fall asleep.
Too relaxing. Too
I didn't
relaxing.
Completely recline, but can I tell you, Dylan and I were the only two people in the theater,
well, the
and it was
been
awesome.
Out for 6 months or something.
Well, I know.
It's been out for a while.
Maybe the fact that you both dress like scary clowns frightened away other theater patrons.
Maybe.
The scary clowns were busy last night.
Yes.
Everyone knows they have meetings on Wednesdays.
Yep.
I just want to tell you, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I think Tim Curry was a better Pennywise.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because I really enjoyed, but did you think it was the scariest movie you've ever seen?
I was afraid I was going to wet my pants. That's what I was worried about. I had a pair of Depends in my purse just in case. No,
safe.
I didn't. But I really heard everybody, oh, this is going to be so scary. I mean, it wasn't that scary.
There were a couple of shock moments, but I've been far more scared.
Me too.
At other movies, but... It's very entertaining.
I didn't look at my watch once.
Yeah. No, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I got to say, I'm not a huge fan of the horror genre, but I did enjoy this one. Did you see It, Bill?
I still haven't seen it. No. I will.
It's really good.
I know.
It's a really entertaining. I love having the theater to myself. I'm going to wait till that's just about
that
ready
nice.
To get out of the big screen theaters.
Yeah, that is nice. Or if you go during the day, I guess you can't.
Go during a commercial break.
Dean was at a movie earlier today.
I know.
That's where I've been for the last 15 minutes.
Dean, really quickly, before we were talking to you, we were talking about how every day now more and more actors, producers, directors, industry people are being named.
That's all I'm reporting on now.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I was going through my scripts this morning for the TV morning news. Practically every story is... sexual assault and harassment. It's like, Dean's police blotter.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep going. I have a sick feeling.
So in the last 24 hours, there was a story about Charlie Sheen that he may have harassed Corey Haim years ago when they were working on a movie together.
Yeah, he was accused, Charlie Sheen.
I didn't hear that one.
Accused of raping Corey Haim when they made the movie Lucas here in the Chicago area in 1986. Friends of Corey Haim claim that the late actor, Corey Haim died in 2012, had told them the story of how he got high with Charlie Sheen. They wound up having what sounds like consensual sex, but they did wind up having sex, and when Corey Haim went back to do it another time, Charlie Sheen didn't want anything to do with them, and then a couple of years later, they did it again. I mean, the whole thing is so
bizarre. Is Corey Feldman the one reporting this story?
No, these are a story from a former actor. I don't recall his name. It's not a huge name, and it's not Corey Feldman, but it was corroborated by a number of other friends of Corey Haim who said that they also heard that same story. Charlie Sheen vehemently denying that any of it happened, of course.
Of course.
New allegations against Kevin Spacey now to add to his woes. A Boston news anchor's son 2 years ago claims that he was having drinks with Kevin Spacey in a bar that he got drunk, and Kevin Spacey acted inappropriately with him, groping him. So, you know, that's still liable for both civil and criminal action in that state and in Massachusetts. On top of that now with Kevin Spacey, and I've never heard this ever happening before, Kevin Spacey is going to be replaced in a movie in which he co-starred that's coming out in 7 weeks. This movie that's called All the Money in the World, in which Spacey co-stars with Michelle Williams and Mark Wahlberg in this, the story of the kidnapping of J. Paul Getty's grandchild. They are literally taking every scene out of the movie that Kevin Spacey was in and reshooting it all with actor Christopher Plummer. I have never heard of anything
but
like that.
But they have
happening.
No choice now if they want to release this movie.
They have no choice. I mean, it's going to be, otherwise it would have been a complete distraction.
Sure.
And probably meant death for the movie. So that at least this way they have a fighting chance that people will go see the movie and appreciate the movie for the movie. Kevin Spacey has also been cut out of a Carol Burnett special that was scheduled to run later on this month. So
he is completely finished.
He is done.
And such a great actor. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know how you recover from
you can't.
Something like that. I don't know how much treatment there is in the world. I don't know how much apology there is. I just don't know.
Apologize for one time, not these repeat offenses, allegedly.
People are forgiving, but I mean, there's obviously there seems to be a pattern. Kevin Spacey has it was only the initial allegation in which Kevin Spacey said that if it happened, he's sorry, but he doesn't really remember. But there's been no apology, there's been no denial, there's been no nothing on any of the Kevin Spacey fronts. The Harvey Weinstein stories could result in criminal action later on this week. So, you know, that's happening. But now allegations have come out against Jeffrey Tambor,
right,
by a former assistant on the TV show Transparent. Yesterday, Terry Crews, the actor who is in Brooklyn Nine-Nine right now with Andy Samberg, he was in Everybody Hates Chris. He was the father on that show. He was one of the old Spice guys in those commercials. He claims that he was groped by a Hollywood executive, and he filed charges yesterday on that. So literally what you guys are saying is that there are new allegations. There were like 5 new allegations just yesterday.
Every day. Portia de Rossi was telling a story about Steven Seagal, how he was unzipping his pants in an audition. And, yeah, it's amazing. All right.
Can't keep up with it all.
All right. Jeez. We'll take a quick break.
And Wendy in diapers.
Right. Well,
I didn't have to.
That's separate for true.
Next person to sit in that chair. Enjoy the movie.
I stayed dry.
We'll take a quick break.
Wendy's trying to get a new endorsement.
Right. Trying. We'll see what happens. It could pay off.
Did it scare me? It depends.
All right. More with Dean Richards next at Phil and Wendy on WGN. Dean Richards is here. There's some new movies opening this weekend that you may want to see. One of them, a remake of the great Murder on the Orient Express. First, Dean, before you talk about this one, the first one, the Albert Finney Murder on the Orient Express, great movie, wasn't it?
It was. And you would think that it would be pretty hard to top what is a classic like that, although there have been about 4 or 5 different versions of Murder on the Orient Express.
I didn't know that.
It's Agatha Christie's probably her most famous murder mystery. Mm-hmm. And, it certainly is compelling in lots of different ways, but you would think, what else could they do? Well, it turns out that in many ways, Kenneth Branagh does top the previous versions of this movie. He not only stars in this movie, but he also directs the film, this amazingly star-studded film that's got Dame Judi Dench and Josh Gad and Johnny Depp and Michelle Pfeiffer and, I'm forgetting half the names who are in this. It's just one superstar.
Daisy Ridley?
Oscar winner after another. Yes.
From Star Wars?
From Star Wars is in the movie. And It's the retelling of this famous murder mystery of a bunch of people who are traveling on this very exotic train travel Somebody is murdered, and it's up to the world's most famous detective, who was on the, who happens to also be on the train to solve the mystery. And not to give away the endings of anything, but it, really, what's great about this movie, and what I was a little disappointed in the movie, is the way that this movie was made. I'm perfectly satisfied with the storytelling, mm-hmm. and everything like that. This is one of the most spectacular-looking films that I've ever seen. That was shot in the same route, the same gorgeous landscapes and backgrounds. That how they even shot some of this to make it look as though they were on a moving train is pretty spectacular. So beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I would just say to director Kenneth Branagh, who is also quite good, all the acting is just fine in the movie, if he had paid as much attention to the pacing of this film as he did the look and the cinematography of the film, it would have been a superstar Oscar winner. Mm. The pacing of it is off. It's kind of a meticulous setup to introduce these many, many, many characters and explain who they are and what their motives might be. And you know why they might be a suspect for a murder. That they take plenty of time for that,
mm-hmm.
But then the resolution of the movie is kind of hurried.
Mm.
The last part of the movie where the crime is resolved happens pretty quickly. And while I'm not a fan of 3-hour movies, it clocks in at just a little bit over 2 hours. It's you know, a very easy movie to watch. I think this is a case where I would have liked a little more length for a little more even pacing and explanation of what happened at the end.
Yeah.
It almost happens a little bit too fast.
So that's its fault. What is the Dean's List on this?
Dean's List on this is Dean's List B.
I think good.
It's very much still worth watching. If you're a fan of murder mysteries, whodunits, you're going to definitely enjoy this movie.
And then really quick, we only have a minute, but Daddy's Home 2, the sequel to, I think, Daddy's Home, right?
That's
yeah,
correct.
Was I right on that one?
That's correct. There was not a Daddy's Home 1.5.
No, there should have been.
They went right from 1 right to number
Greedy.
2. They're big fans of whole numbers over at Paramount Pictures. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
This is the film that brought the unlikely pairing of Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg as a father and stepfather trying to get along. The first film, pretty successful. So they tried it again. The basic premise of this one is sort of the paternal version to that Bad Moms Christmas movie that I hated
really?
A couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
In which you not only have your father and stepfather, now you've got their fathers coming to spend Christmas with them. Mark Wahlberg's father, my close personal friend Mel Gibson,
yes,
and Will Ferrell's father in the movie, John Lithgow, and the performances are fine and the jokes are fine and. You know, there's nothing groundbreaking in this movie. There are some definite laughs to be had. I'm calling this a harmless Dean's List C.
Oh, that's all right.
I didn't hate this.
Yeah.
It's also rated PG-13 and not R like the Bad Moms movie was. Not that I mind R-rated movies,
right.
But sometimes it seems really gratuitous and they're trying so hard to be outrageous and raunchy. This one stays a little above that grade, and I thought it was a little more palatable than the other one.
Very good. Well, thank you, Dean.
I gave that a C.
C.
Thanks,
right.
Dean.
Easy. That's Dean Richards, everybody.
You guys try to be on time for the segment next week.
We're going to do our best. Thank you, Dean. Have a good
Very
weekend.
Very irresponsible.
I know. We apologize. You'll get a fruit basket in the mail. Thanks, Dean. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.